Colossians chapter 3, and then go to verse 1 of Colossians chapter 4 tonight. You know, the chapters and the Bible were what man put in there. And they kind of collected thoughts. There are some passages like this one where the thought actually goes into the next chapter. So tonight what we're going to do is we're going to look at the rest of Colossians chapter 3 and verse 1 of Colossians chapter 4. I still want to put out the request, if you have a critical need financially or for substance or food, call my cell phone, call the church, put it on Facebook. I have a lot of people that can help. I even pick up groceries. So please do that. And don't be ashamed. Don't be proud right now. If you need some help, ask for it. And then continuing to do the things as far as your prayer request. We are getting them through the prayer chain. It's still working. Everything is still working. Everything is still working. It's just in a remote sense. And then I once again thank everybody for their faithfulness as far as your tithes and offerings are considered. And they are being safeguarded. They are being the mail is being picked up every day, and it's being accounted for. And I thank all those that are involved in that. So last week we were talking about putting on new clothes, and we looked at Colossians chapter 2 or 3 verses 12 through 17. And the issue is that Christians should be kind, loving representatives of Christ. That goes without saying. We have Christ in Christian. So we were looking at verses 12 through 14, and we need to put on new clothes. We need to take off the old man and put on the new man. We need to think on things above and set our affections on things above. This whole chapter is being not what you were, but being what you are in Christ. And so what we need to do is we need to minister as Christ did, and that will become apparent. We need to put on beautiful garments in verses 12 through 13. And then there's a series of things of what we're supposed to do. It's kind of like spiritual demeanor or spiritual character or spiritual fruit. We're supposed to put on bowels of mercy. That is tenderheartedness plus compassion. We're supposed to put on kindness with his gentleness, which is a fruit of the Spirit as we find in Galatians chapter Chapter 5, verses 22 and 23. It's a sweet disposition. Sometimes, probably right now, we're all struggling with having a sweet disposition at times as we're all kind of locked in our houses. We need to have humbleness of mind. What does that mean? That means have a correct estimate of yourself. Paul wrote, he says, but by the grace of God, I am what I am. He told Timothy, he says, I am the chiefest of sinners. I'm the chiefest of sinners. We need to glory only in the Lord. And that's what 2 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 17 says. But there's more. The beautiful garments that we need to put on are garments that are meek. Have glad willingness to do God's will. Be long-suffering. Being patient to those who offend us. To be forbearing. To put up with believers who talk in an irritating manner or who just rub you the wrong way. That's tough at times. That's tough at times. Look at Christ. Look at his disciples. I mean, here's the ones that he's called by name, and they follow him. And then we have Peter and we have John. Why don't you call down fire and consume everybody? No. No. We need to be forbearing. And then lastly, we need to be forgiving. The issue is, look at how much Christ has forgiven us. Look at how many sins he's forgiven us. The psalm says, as far as from the east to the west, buried in the deepest sea. And we use the example of Joseph. Joseph's brothers were fearful after Jacob died, thinking that Joseph was going to take revenge. And it broke Joseph's heart. It breaks. It should break a Christian's heart. When someone has an issue with you. And it should break us heart to make reconciliation and have unity restored. So are you wearing beautiful garments? Are you wearing these new clothes? You minister for Christ and you will. The next thing is that there's the best garment. And the best garment, verse 14, is that it says, above all these things, put on charity, which is the bond of perfectness. We're supposed to be perfect and complete in Christ. And the only way we could do is by loving him. Because he first loved us. How can we say that we're a Christian, we're on our way to heaven, if we hate our brother, if we hate our sister, if we don't do all those things? John says that we're a liar. So we're supposed to put on the best garment, which is love. And if you want to know what love's about, go read 1 Corinthians chapter 13. Once again, it's apparent only as we minister as Christ did. So we need to put on the best garments, new clothes. We need a new conduct. We started out last week, we said, does clothes make the man? No, they don't. I could wear a doctor's suit and I'm not a doctor. But our clothes should reflect our conduct. We need to esteem one another. In verse 15, it says, and let the peace of God rule or determine your heart to arbitrate the issues in your life. And it takes effort. Philippians 4:3 talks about that. We're supposed to endeavor to keep the bond of unity and peace. We need to encourage one another in verse 16. Basically, and the words of Christ need to dwell in us richly and in all wisdom. Philippians 4:8. And I challenge you all to read Philippians 4:8 last Sunday night. I hope that you did. It'll give us a better perspective. It gave Paul perspective in the Philippian jail. And he wrote those things back to them. So we need to think on good things. And then we need to teach and admonish one another, singing in our hearts psalms, which are Old Testament psalms, or hymns, songs of praise. How great thou art! And then spiritual songs, songs of truth. And then lastly, we need to extol the Lord or lift Him up. Actions that should issue from a right heart attitude, and that we see that all of our life is supposed to be sanctified and sacred to Him. So my question tonight is, are you wearing the new clothes? We need to do that daily. We need to put off the old man and put on the new man. We need to renew our mind. Be ye not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and perfect acceptable will of God. So I ask the question, are we wearing the clothes that Christ provides? Isaiah 61:10. It says, I will greatly rejoice in the Lord. My soul shall be joyful in my God, for He hath clothed me with the garments of salvation. Are you saved? Do you know Christ is your Savior? You can't get there unless you have that. Then the next thing is, He's covered me with the robe of righteousness, as a bridegroom decketh herself with ornaments, and as a bride adorneth herself with jewels. So, Paul closes this chapter and begins the next chapter with talking about relationships. I've often said that if our relationship this way, vertically with God, is right, then our relationship with our fellow man is correct. The Ten Commandments deal with relationships and being, having a relationship with God and then having a relationship with their fellow man. So we're going to look at verses 18 through the end of chapter 3 and verse 1 of chapter 4. And the point that I want to bring out is that the Christian should honor the Lord at home and at work. It's easy to put up a facade when you're in church. It's easy to look like other people when you're in that group. But what do we look like when we go at home? What do we look like when we're at work? So in Colossians chapter 3, verses 18 through 21 is our first point tonight. And the verse says, oh no, he's going to get into this. Wives, submit yourselves unto your own husbands as it is fit in the Lord. Husbands, love your wives and be not bitter against them. Children, obey your parents. Okay, he leaves nobody out. He leaves nobody out here. Children, obey your parents in all things, for this is well-pleasing unto the Lord. I want you to understand something here. The wife-husband relationship from the wife is fit in the Lord. Okay? Husbands are not supposed to be bitter, because that's not being a Christian. Children need to be obedient, because that's well-pleasing to the Lord. See the example here? If you do these things, God is pleased. Fathers, provoke not your children to anger, lest they be discouraged. And so this first part talks about relationships at home. Now, this word of submit is taking on a whole new meaning in today's vernacular. It's not what people think it is. Okay? It's to be ranked under but not inferior. Paul continues to write about this several times. In 1 Corinthians 11:3, he says, "But I would have you know that the head of every man is Christ, and the head of the woman is the man, and the head of Christ is God." If you don't believe me, go back to Genesis chapter 3 and look what God told Adam and Eve. But we need to cooperate in marriage. In Ephesians chapter 5, verse 22, Paul writes to that church, "Wives, submit yourselves to your own husbands. In both times, listen to the man you marry." That's who you're living with. That's who you're one flesh with. It's not someone else. That'll get you in trouble. "Well, he says something better than my husband says." That'll get you in trouble. So we need to be submitted one to another. Hey, that's a servant relationship. That's a servant relationship. "Wives, submit your own to husbands as unto the Lord." Folks, if we're on the right page with God, these issues are not an issue. We'll understand exactly what they mean. So the first one is, wives, submit to your own husbands as it is fit in the Lord. Now, Ephesians chapter 5, verses 23 and 25, it says, "For the husband is the head of the wife, even as Christ is the head of the church, and he is the Savior of the body. Therefore, as the church is subject to Christ, so let the wives be unto their own husbands in everything. Husbands, love your wives, even as Christ also loved the church and gave himself for it." See, it's easy for a wife to have a right standing in a marriage if the husband loves his wife as Christ loves the church. I've been working with someone recently over getting rid of some habits, and they're trying to do it on their own. And I can't do it. I get frustrated. No, that's not the point. The point is that everything we do, we should do for the glory of God. So if we take our focus off of trying to do it ourselves and put our focus on trying to please God, it will work out a whole lot better. And you will be successful. You will be successful. The marriage relationship on earth is supposed to be a reflection of the marriage relationship between a man and a wife. I mean, between Christ and the church. So, we see this talks about the husbands love your wives even as Christ loved the church and gave himself for it. So in verse 19 it says, "Husbands, love your wives and be not bitter against them." You know, holding grudges and picking fights and trying to find fault all the time, that's good in no relationship, and it will destroy marriage. So men, love your wives. Lift them up as Christ lifts us up. Forgive them as Christ forgives us. Love in a way that Christ loves us and loves the church. And Christ wants the best for the church. We as husbands and fathers need the best for our families. So husbands need to love their wives. Selfishly and sacrificially, that sets the environment. Because it's not about me, it's about her. Okay? So, guys, we need to sanctify our marriages by setting the right standard. You know, we hear the thing that everything rises and falls on leadership. We're the leader of the home. Act like it. We're supposed to be Christians. Be like Christ in the home. You can't get all upset. You can't fly off the handle. You need spiritual character. You need to show the fruits of the Spirit. And we, dads and husbands, need to mentor our families. And if we're not mentoring our families, we are out of God's will. We're supposed to sanctify the marriage by the right standard. We're supposed to cleanse the marriage by the Word of God. Decisions and discussions should be Christ-focused. Family needs to see the father and the husband, read the Word of God, need to live by the Word of God. Because, you know, who will you listen to? Someone who actually believes what they're saying. No one's going to listen to someone who's just that. We need to live this. And then the next thing is the whole goal is to present our marriage and to present our wives as without blemish. Do you have a blemish in your marriage? Do you hold something against your wives, guys? Wives, do you have something against your husband? Work it out tonight. Pray together. Fix this. Bring unity in the home. Let your kids see it. And we'll honor God. We'll have a right relationship because we put on the new clothes. We've taken the old stuff and we put it out of the wardrobe. And we're thinking on heavenly things. And our mindset's there. So he talks about wives, he talks about husbands, and then he basically says, be not bitter against them. How can you not be bitter? Well, cooperate and not compete. Cooperate and not compete. You know, the best leader is one who serves the people he's trying to lead. We need to be good leaders in the home. We need to communicate and not cut off. We went through the book of James. Everybody be quick to listen, slow to speak, slow to wrath. This is my problem. I tend to cut people off because I want to say my piece. And I've learned that that's not right. And it takes skill to listen to one another. And then forgive and forget. Once you resolve an issue, that issue is done. It's not allowed to be brought up anymore. And that's a pact that I have with Angie. We can't bring up old stuff. It's not allowed. And if we bring up old stuff, foul, stop, wrong, doesn't. We ask God to forget our sins, and He justifies us. And it's basically just as if I've never sinned. And once we resolve an issue inside our marriage, it's gone. It's just as if it never happened. And we need to forgive and forget. So, husbands, are you doing that with your wife? Then it talks about fathers and children. There's admonitions to children to obey. In Proverbs chapter 13, verse 1, it says this. It says that a wise son heareth his father's instruction, but a scorner heareth not rebuke. And then in Romans chapter 1, verse 30, and in 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 2, I think there's things in here that represent our society today. You know, the Bible is just as relevant today as the day it was written. In Romans chapter 1, verse 30, it talks about what was going on then in the Roman Empire. And what was going on then with idolatry and basically worshiping everything except God. In a verse it says, backbiters, hater of God, despiteful, proud, boasters, inventor of evil things, disobedient to parents. That's a sign of rebellion. And the Bible says that rebellion is as the sin of witchcraft. And so should not have that. Go ask Saul what happened. 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 2, for men shall be lovers of their own selves, covetous, boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient parents. Uh-oh, there it is again. You know where that all starts out from? Being lovers of your own self. I want it my way instead of what mom and dad wants. Kids, you need to listen to mom and dad. They've been around the block a little bit. There's wisdom in there. The Bible says, despise not the hoary head, okay? Or the old one, okay? Unthankful, unholy. And my challenge to children, yeah, thank your parents for all that they do. You would not be here if it wasn't for them. You would not have what you have if it wasn't for them. We need to be thankful and we need to be holy instead of unthankful and holy. So these are biblical admonitions for children to obey. But fathers, once again, as it says here, it says, fathers, provoke not your children to anger, lest they be discouraged, and then they won't listen to you anymore. So what fathers are supposed to do is supposed to nurture an environment for obedience. In Proverbs chapter 22, verse 6, train up a child in the way he should go, and when he is old, he will not depart from it. Ephesians chapter 6, verse 4, and ye fathers, provoke not your children to wrath. Paul goes even further in this one. He says, don't provoke them anger. This is wrath. Provoke not your children to wrath, but bring them up in the nurture and the admonition of the Lord. If you want grass in your yard, you don't go throw out the seed and then just go stomping on it all the time. It's never going to grow. If you want a flower bed, you just don't go in there and plant the flowers and then go stomping all the way through it. If you want a good flower bed, you got to stay out of it and quit stomping on things. Fathers, don't stomp on your kids. Don't have an excessive rule over them. Bring them up and mentor them. That's really what we need, is fathers who will mentor today. Husbands who will mentor today. I think that's a lost practice. I believe that's a lost practice. So it's a father's responsibility to nurture an environment that would make the child want to obey. So then Paul now shifts gears. He talks from about home relationships, and he gets everyone involved, wives, husbands, and children. And so now in the rest of chapter 3, he talks about worker, or employee-employer type relationships, but he talks at it from being a servant. Okay? We're supposed to serve one another. That's what Christ did. That's what Christ did. In Ephesians chapter 6, verses 5 through 8, Paul gives this example. He says, servants, be obedient to them who are your masters, according to the flesh, with fear and trembling, in singleness of your heart. And then look at the last phrase, as unto Christ. Okay? Not with eye service as men pleasers, but as the servants of Christ. Doing the what? Will of God from the heart. With good will doing service. Look at this next verse. As to the Lord and not to men. Knowing that whatsoever good thing any man doeth, the same shall he receive of the Lord, be it bond or free. It doesn't talk about your social status. We need to do everything to the Lord. If you do your job as to the Lord, you're going to be the best employee that he has. If you do your job as to the Lord, you're going to be the best boss that you could possibly be. Because it's not about you anymore, it's about God. It's not about you anymore, it's about your testimony. Not your reputation, it's about your testimony. So here's some verses on work relationship. 1 Timothy chapter 6, verse 1. Let as many servants be as under the yoke count their own masters worthy of all honor. How many say, well, that boss of mine is dirty, rotten, that. That's not giving them honor. That's kind of like being backbiters and disobedient and haters and all that other stuff that we just read. That the name of God and His doctrine be not blasphemed. Those are pretty strong words. Titus chapter 2, verse 9. Exhort servants to be obedient to their own masters and please them well in all things, not answering again. When you're asked to do something, do it the first time. And don't have to follow up on the thing. So this leads us into relationships at work. In Colossians chapter 3, verses 22 through 4, verse 1, it says this: servants, obey in all things your masters according to the flesh, not with eye service as men pleasers, but in singleness of heart, fearing God. You want to understand the unity of the Bible? You understand the unity of Paul's thoughts? He's saying the same thing over and over. He's not saying one thing to the Colossians and a different thing to the Ephesians. He's saying the same thing the same way every time. And folks, that's how Christians are supposed to live. We are no respecter of persons. What I say to David is the same thing I said to Steve. And I'm not going to be any different. I'm not going to be wishy-washy. And whatsoever ye do, do it heartily as to the Lord and not unto men, knowing that of the Lord ye shall receive the reward of the inheritance, for ye serve the Lord Christ. But he that doeth wrong shall receive for the wrong which he hath done, and there is no respect of persons. And then verse 1, it says, masters, give unto your servants that which is just and equal, knowing that ye also have a master in heaven. Do you see? Wives, we need to think on Christ. Husbands, we need to think on Christ. Children, we need to think on Christ. Employees, you need to think on Christ. Employers, you need to think on Christ. Because if we're thinking on Christ, everything is to His standard. It's to His standard. So, an employee to an employer should be, the first thing is loyalty. Okay? It says, obey in all things your masters. The next thing is consistent effort. Okay? Not with eye service as men pleasers. Not with FaceTime. Not showing up when the boss is looking. But working behind the scenes. Having reverence for God. In verse 23, but in singleness of heart, fearing God, or not, this is not being scared of God. This is respecting God. Because everything we do, we can show respect for God. Because that's who's supposed to motivate us, is God. In verse 23, and whatsoever you do, do it what? Heartily, with enthusiasm, is what the word means. With enthusiasm. As to the Lord, which is devotion to the Lord. And then the next one is being confident that the Lord is fair, knowing that of the Lord ye shall receive the reward of the inheritance, for ye serve the Lord Christ. And God will judge righteously, and He will reward those who are good servants or are good stewards. Remember the parable of the talents? The master gave his servant talents. Two of the three servants went out and got more talents and gave them back to the Lord. And basically they got the reward. They got the same recognition. Well done, thou good and servant. You've been faithful over a few things. I'll make you faithful over many. But the one that just thought about himself and thought about reprisal and thought that God was a hateful person, not knowing the character of God, hid his talent in the dirt, didn't do anything with it, and then says, okay, there's what you got. You gave it to me, I gave it back to you. That's not what God wants. That's not what God, he wants us to do more things heartily to the Lord. We need to have confidence in the Lord's fairness. And then lastly, in verse 1, okay, it says, masters, give unto your servants that which is just and equal, knowing that ye also have a master in heaven. An employer to employee should be a role model, okay, of integrity. We need that in the workplace today. Amen. We need that in our leaders today, is integrity. Not saying what people want to hear, but doing the right thing. Tolerance. You know, give people a little bit of leeway to make mistakes, because that's how you learn. And hold them to the same standard that you hold yourself to. Being fair. It says that we're supposed to be just and equal. The equal part is being fair. And then having productivity, okay? Because we're supposed to give back to God. In Ephesians chapter 6, verse 9, Paul writes the same thing. He says the same thing again. And ye masters, do the same things unto them, forbearing, threatening, knowing that your master, God, also is in heaven, neither is there respect of persons with him. See, Paul writes to the Galatians in Galatians chapter 3. He says, there is neither bond nor free, barbarian or Greek, Roman, it's all the same. Jew or Greek, we're all the same in God's eyes. We're just sinners saved by grace. You know, there's a common saying that it says that a person is known by the company he keeps. I want to kind of give a final thought tonight. Your relationship with others are reflections of your relationship with Christ. If you don't care for your wife, then you don't care for Christ. If you don't care for your kids, you don't care for Christ. If you don't care for the job that you're doing, then you don't care for Christ. If you don't care for the people who are working for them and treat them right, then you don't care for Christ. Because Christ does all those things for us. How can we experience the blessings of God and not share them with other people? How can we get all of His benefits and not have a testimony of showing that to others? Our relationship with others are reflections of our relationship with Christ. If this relationship is correct, this relationship is correct. Remember what Christ said. Love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, soul, mind, and strength, and love thy neighbor as thyself. Don't come back around and ask, who's my neighbor? The neighbor is everybody who's not you. It's everybody who's not you. And that's how we need to live. Let's be have a word of invitation, Lord, and then also go to Him in prayer right now. Heavenly Father, Lord, we just ask that You just give us the opportunity, Lord, to right ourselves with You tonight, Lord, and right ourselves in our relationship. Lord, I just thank You, Lord, for what You've done for us, and help us to be mindful of what You've given to us in our lives. Help us be mindful of the salvation, the forgiveness that You've given to us. And Father, help us, Lord, to show that in our families. And help us, Lord, to show that in the workplace. Help us, Lord, to show that with our neighbors. Father, as someone that does not know you as Christ, as Savior, Lord, I pray that they would ask for your forgiveness tonight and receive Christ as their Savior. Lord, for us as Christians, we ask that we could just have a right relationship with you and right relationship with others. That we could have a testimony that would be pleasing to you. Be with us time of invitation. We ask these things in your Son's name. Amen.
If you are tired of
your load of sin, let Jesus